If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1. I don't know about you, if you know me, you've heard me say this before, but when I get to heaven, obviously we want to meet Jesus, but after Jesus, I want to meet the Apostle Paul. Because out of all the characters in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, but mostly New Testament, I want to meet Paul. Because he's one of the ones that amazes me the most. Because I don't get Paul most of the time. Paul said this in chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Okay, I'm thinking to myself, if you don't know the history of Paul writing to the church at Philippi, Paul is in jail when he's writing to this church. And I'm thinking, here's a guy in jail saying, I want to know Christ. Okay, if I'm in jail, probably the last thing that's going through my mind, firstly, is I want to know Christ. My thought is probably, I want to get out of here. But here's Paul, says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him in his power. I want to share in his sufferings. How many of you have ever prayed that? I've never prayed that. Lord, I want to share in your sufferings. But here is Paul doing that. I live the Living Bible here. How's the sound quality out there? Is it okay? Is it too loud or is it? I don't need it in this room. We're just doing it for the live stream. Hi, live stream people. Glad you're watching. Wherever you are, all you people in Florida that are watching, we hate you. But I love the Living Bible here. The Living Bible says this. Paul says, I've given everything up. I've found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. Paul was somehow able to live his life here on earth, keeping a perspective on eternity. I want that for me. But how many of you know it's very difficult? Because this life can just suck the energy out of us sometimes. But here's Paul. He's keeping this eternal perspective. So in chapter 1, I want to give us 5 simple things this morning that will help us keep an eternal perspective. How many of you are with me so far? Philippians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, read along with me. If you have your phone, read the electronic version. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word this morning. So notice how Paul starts off this book. Are you sure the sound quality is okay? It sounds loud to me. Is it okay? It's good, really? Okay. Notice how Paul starts off this book. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Notice he starts off and he says, Paul and Timothy, to the saints at Philippi. Why is Paul writing to this church? Here's a guy in jail, and yet he's writing this letter to this church at Philippi. Well, if you know the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, the cool thing about the book of Acts is that a lot of stuff happens in the book of Acts that is later referred to. So Paul, things that happen in Acts, Paul writes back to churches that he was visiting in Acts. So Acts chapter 16 tells us how this church in Philippi was founded. Paul is traveling on his second missionary journey, and he takes Timothy, his son in the faith, along with him. And he arrives in Philippi, and he meets this lady named Lydia, stays at her house, and they all come to faith. And then Paul and Silas get thrown in jail, and they miraculously get freed because an earthquake shakes the prison, and the prison doors open, and then the jailer and his family all come to Christ. How many of you heard anything I just said? Okay, so that's the history. Paul is at Philippi. These great things happen. Years later, Paul's in jail, and he's writing a letter back to the church that he founded. Okay, so there's just a little bit of history. So Paul writes back to this church, and he starts off the letter. Notice what he says. Paul and Timothy... Notice he didn't say, Paul and Timothy, overseers, Paul and Timothy, founders of the church. Notice how he starts off. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of the Lord. Here's key number one. If we want to keep an eternal perspective, is to learn how to serve the Lord and his church. You know, it's interesting that in other books, Paul does introduce himself as an apostle or something like that, because he had to exercise his authority over the church, because they had an issue with doctrine or something like that. But here, Paul doesn't introduce himself as an apostle or, the founder of the church or anything like that. He just says, Paul, a servant. In chapter 2, Paul again encourages them to serve. We may look at this next week or the week after. But he says this when he's writing to this church. Now, he's already introduced himself as a servant, right? But then he goes on in chapter 2 to say this to the church. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, in other words, he was God, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, something to be clung on to. Not that he couldn't attain it, because he was God, but something that he didn't cling on to his position. Who, being in the very nature with God, did not consider equality something with God to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So Paul writes back to this church, introduces himself, I'm a servant. And then he says to the church, he said, you should be servants too. In fact, look at Jesus as the example. Here was God put on a human suit, came to earth, died on a cross to forgive us for our sin. He said, your attitude should be just like that. Do you remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and of course, Peter said, no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And then Jesus says, okay, if I don't wash your feet, I'll have nothing to do with you. And then Peter says, okay, then wash my head, wash everything. How many of you heard what I just said? Did you catch that? But then Jesus ends it, this story, he's washing their feet. And he said, I've set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I'll tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What did Jesus say? He said, I showed you the example of being a servant. Now, the blessing in your life, our life, comes when we do the same thing. What? Begin to serve. Everybody say serve. Serve. Number two, surround yourself with godly friends, godly people. How many of you know other people in this room? Do you know other people in this room? How many of you know you're blessed to know other godly people? Paul says this. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray for you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you. Now remember, he's writing to people, real people like you. It'd be like me writing you a letter. He said, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So notice how Paul describes these people, this church at Philippi. He says in verse 3, he said, I thank my God every time I think of you. Do you have people in your life like that? That when you think of them, you say, thank God for so-and-so, Joe, Susie, whoever they are. I thank God every time I think of you. Now, how many of you know there are some people that you don't thank God for when you think of them? Like the person who took your parking spot this morning. Then in verse 5, he talks to them about people with whom you are partners in the gospel. I love what one of the dads in our church, I think it was Leah, who actually, this lady right here, if you don't know who Leah is, I think she came up with the idea. She said this, several weeks ago. She said, I think the dads and the sons ought to help start setting up and tearing down church on Sunday morning. I said, amen to that. You go, girl. So one of the dads sitting right over here has started the process, and him and his son will be the first ones when we're back in Norwell, prayerfully next week, that will help. What a cool picture that is. A dad bringing his child along, son or daughter, it doesn't matter, bringing his child along, teaching them how to serve at a young age. I just love it, love it, love it. How many of you know your kids will never forget when they're older? I remember when I used to go to church with my dad at 7:30 in the morning to help set up chairs or get the communion out or do any of that. They will never forget it. I can remember things I did with my parents when I was 7 years old, 8 years old. They will never forget it. He says, people with whom you are partners in the gospel. You dads that are going to participate in that, you are being partners with your children in advancing the gospel. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And then he says that there are people who are on the journey with you. He who began a good work in you will complete it. How many of you know that we change best when we are around other people? Listen to this. A professor of medical sociology at Harvard University said that people have a better chance of change when they utilize their social networks. He wrote, people are better able to make changes in their lives, like lose weight, quit smoking, or become happy when they do it with a large number of other people. And then he gives this example of the show The Biggest Loser. He said, where friends and family and neighbors and coworkers offer support and accountability for positive change. Well, how many of you know the church offers the same dynamic where people can help one another overcome obstacles and experience victorious life change? I don't know if you have had a person like that in your life, that when you were struggling, this person helped you along and helped you to become the person that you are today. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he writes to this church. Have these kinds of people in your life. And then in verse 8, he says, those for whom you have a real love for. In verse 7, he says, I have you in my heart. In verse 8, he said, I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I love this quote that I heard. I hope you have people like this in your life, by the way, as I'm describing all these attributes of this church. This quote says, a friend is one who sees through you, but still enjoys the view. Years ago, I was working with this realtor, and he came here, came to my office, and I was not calm and meek and mild like I am today when I was younger. And he said to, I made some, you know, I was giving him a hard time about something. And he looked at Rose, an older lady who's cooking us food right now. Bless her. Lord bless her. I thank God every time I think of you. He looked at Rose, he goes, how can you stand him? And she said, love. Love. Even as perfect as I am, how many of you know? How many of you know I have faults? Who said? I'm thinking the story about the log and the plank, the speck and the plank. I hope you have people like this. Verse 4. People who are praying for you and that you are praying for. So he's describing this church. He lists all of these attributes about this church. Now I'm talking about how do we keep an eternal perspective? How do we begin to live our life like the Apostle Paul? He's in jail. I mean, come on. And all he can say is, I just want to know Christ, to share in his sufferings and become like him in death. I mean, come on. Well, learn how to serve. Surround yourself with godly people that you can help and can help you. people who are praying for you and that you are praying for. He says there in verse 4, in all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. How many of you know there are some people, like he said earlier, when you think of them, it's joyful, it's happy thoughts. How many of you there are some people that it's just easy to pray for? It's just your kids, your relatives. Well, maybe your kids. It's easy to pray for him. He said, in all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. This lady in our church, she used to drive, she's retired now, but she used to drive by my house every morning, very early in the morning, probably, 6:30, 7 o'clock, heading to work. And every morning when she would go by, if I was up, I'm drinking my coffee in my little easy chair by the window, I can see out the window. And I noticed after a while that every time this lady passed by my house, she was honking the horn. And I'm thinking, my neighbors are going to kill this person if they find out. So I said, Phyllis, you, every time you go by my... Oh, I gave it away. Most of you don't know who this person is. Forget it. I said, why do you honk your horn every time you go by my house early in the morning? My neighbors are going to kill me. And she said, because I want you to know every time I go by your house, I'm praying for you. I said, honk away. Who cares about the neighbors? But you know what happened? Every time I heard the honk early in the morning, I'd say, Lord, bless Phyllis. Bless her on her way to work. Bless her travel. Just bless her. That's what Paul's talking about here. People in your life that you love, that love you, that you're praying for, that are praying for you. Do you have these kind of people in your life? I pray you do. If you don't, some of them could be right here in this room. You just need to get to know them. Find a small group to get in. I just so encourage you to do it. It's so much easier, as the study said, to follow Christ when we're in a body that will help us do it. Somebody say amen.